Kremlin accuses the U.S. Embassy in Moscow of fueling demonstrations in support of opposition figure Alexei Navalny. New polls indicate a majority of people in Scotland and Northern Ireland favor breakup of the UK. Scottish nationalists announced plans for a new independence referendum. France imposes new border controls for travelers from EU countries as part of efforts to stem the spread of COVID-19. It's good to have you with us. Starting with some Russia reaction, the Kremlin accusing the U.S. Embassy in Moscow of interfering in Russian domestic affairs. This after the mission issued an alert over recent protest rallies in Russia. A spokesperson for the Russian president said that the U.S. Embassy indirectly supported a violation of Russian law and what he called unauthorized protests. He said a similar move from the Russian embassy in the U.S. would have created a feeling of discomfort in Washington. The U.S. Embassy had distributed an alert to U.S. citizens recommending they avoid protests. Those rallies took place in different Russian cities in support of opposition figure Alexei Navalny. He was detained at an airport in Moscow last week upon arrival from Germany. The United States has reaffirmed its commitment to deepening ties with Taiwan amid rising tensions between the self-ruled island and China. The U.S. State Department says Washington will continue to help Taipei maintain sufficient self-defense capability. Spokesman Ned Price also urged China to stop pressuring Taiwan and instead engage in meaningful dialogue with officials. Meantime, the U.S. military says an aircraft carrier group led by USS Theodore Roosevelt has entered the South China Sea. That after Taiwan reported an incursion by Chinese warplanes into its air defense identification zone. Beijing is critical of Washington's boosting of ties with the island, which it views as part of its territory. Political analyst Einar Tangen says that the Biden administration seems to have adopted the stance of its predecessor on China.
It's an extremely dangerous situation. What you have is the Biden administration reaffirmed basically the stance that Donald Trump has towards China, which is to, in essence, provoke it with a series of trade and other measures. But they said that they would be adopting different tactics. Unfortunately, their support for Taiwan that was voiced during the confirmation hearings make it very clear that they do not intend to abide by the letter of the One China policy, and this is extremely volatile. These nations could be sleepwalking into war. China, for its part, responded by sending airplanes into space that Taiwan claims for its own. And this is the kind of escalation that everyone has been looking to avoid.
U.S. President Joe Biden has asked his intelligence chief to launch a comprehensive threat assessment into domestic terrorism. And that was announced by the White House on Friday, only 2 days after Biden was sworn in. The new U.S. administration says that the rise of domestic extremism is a growing national security threat. Whether this is the result of the legacy that former President Trump left behind is up for debate. But many agree that the threat existed in the U.S. long before Donald Trump.
Last August, Michael German, a former FBI special agent, published a report in which it said white supremacist groups have infiltrated U.S. law enforcement agencies in every region of the country over the last two decades. The report said U.S. law enforcement officials have been tied to racist militant activities in more than a dozen states since the year 2000. Wednesday, Joe Biden was sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. In his first speech as the U.S. President, he pledged to defeat political extremism and domestic terror.
A rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat.
2 days later, Biden ordered the Director of National Intelligence to work with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to conduct a comprehensive assessment of the threat from domestic violent extremism.
We're committed to developing policies and strategies based on facts, on objective and rigorous analysis, and on our respect for constitutionally protected free speech and political activities. Our initial work on DVE will broadly fall into three areas. The first is a tasking from President Biden sent to the ODNI today, requesting a comprehensive threat assessment coordinated with the FBI and DHS on domestic violent extremism.
The fast-paced move shows how seriously the new U.S. administration is taking the issue in the aftermath of the January 6th demonstration in which pro-Trump protesters overran the Capitol. The National Intelligence Office was created in 2001 after the September 11 attacks with the goal of combating international terrorism. The involvement of the National Intelligence Office suggests that U.S. authorities are examining how to pivot to a more concerted focus on violence from extremists at home.
People in the U.S. who don't want any more wars, who want money to be used for poverty and homelessness here, those people are now going to be cracked down on with the same policies that they're using to the right-wing extremists. And so I think it took a while for the Biden administration and the Democrats to do this, because I think now they're also going to use it to attack people on the anti-imperialist left, the anti-war left, who don't want any conflict abroad.
What happened in the U.S. Capitol raised questions about whether federal government national security apparatus that for decades has moved aggressively to combat what it called threats from foreign terror groups is adequately equipped to address the threat of domestic terrorism. In U.S. Congress, lawmakers passed a measure requiring intelligence agencies to work on annual reports and strategic assessments of domestic extremism. Many lawmakers blame far-right white supremacist extremism as the most dangerous threat in America. Indeed, they have evidence for their claim. A report conducted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies shows that white supremacists and other far-right groups conducted two-thirds of the terrorist plots and attacks in the U.S. in 2020. It says that anarchists and other like-minded extremists orchestrated 20% of the plots and attacks, although the number of incidents grew from previous years. These groups mostly targeted law enforcement, military, and government facilities and personnel.
Now, a report conducted by Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies shows that right-wing militia groups used vehicles, explosives, and firearms as their predominant weapons. The report says these groups targeted demonstrators and other individuals because of the racial, ethnic, religious, or political makeup. Now, the United States established its National Intelligence Office after 9/11 attacks in 2001 to thwart international terrorism. It's quite ironic that the same office now has to look at terrorism threats from within the country. Many are even unaware that in the U.S. there is no law specific to domestic terrorism, and that means there is no specific federal crime covering acts of terrorism inside America.
Last August, Michael German, a former FBI special agent, published a report in which it said white supremacist groups have infiltrated U.S. law enforcement agencies in every region of the country over the last two decades. The report said U.S. law enforcement officials have been tied to racist militant activities in more than a dozen states since the year 2000. It noted that hundreds of police officers have been caught posting racist and bigoted social media content. The report said the main reason U.S. law enforcement have failed to respond to far-right domestic terror threats is that they are involved in such crimes.
From the very beginning, the U.S. state intelligence apparatus, whether it's domestic or foreign, the FBI, the CIA, has been based entirely on the enslavement of African people, of indigenous peoples. And so this notion that Biden and the Democrats are going to crack down on racism within and try to eradicate it is kind of nonsense, because at its very core, the U.S. state has been repressive, has been based on colonialism, slavery.
Concerns about alleged relations between far-right groups and law enforcement in the U.S. have intensified since the start of the protest movement sparked by the police killing of George Floyd in the summertime. But when footage of the protest rally on January 6 showed some police officers were letting protesters enter the building, the authorities started to worry. Investigation shows that there were off-duty officers in the rally and helped others to storm the Capitol building. A poll conducted by Reuters news agency after the insurrection at the Capitol found that 12% of Americans have supported the move. With their enormous power, department-issued weapons, and access to sensitive information, police departments have become attractive recruiting grounds for white supremacist groups. Because of the secretive nature of such groups, it is hard to say how many officers are involved. But since 2009, police officers in dozens of U.S. states have been identified as members of white supremacist groups.
Now let's move on to Scotland's First Minister has promised to hold a fresh referendum on independence from Britain if her party wins a strong showing in regional elections in May.
I want to have a legal referendum. That's what I'm going to seek the authority of the Scottish people for in May, and if they give me that authority, that's what I intend to do. Have a legal referendum to give people in Scotland the right to choose. That's democracy. It's not about what I want or about what Boris Johnson wants. It's about what the people of Scotland want, and the increasing evidence is that they want independence.
You decide that this was a major problem for Scotland.
We've always known this is a major problem.
Sturgeon criticised the UK's Prime Minister for refusing to agree to another independence vote. She says that Boris Johnson is frightened of democracy. Sturgeon's party, the Scottish National Party, has already set out a plan for a vote. Meantime, new polls showing the majority of people in Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales are seeking independence from Britain. Scotland held its first independence vote in 2014. At that time, more than 55% of the voters said no to secession from the UK. Well, I talked to our correspondent in London, Robert Carter, and he said that the UK's departure from the European Union has been a major cause behind growing calls for independence.
Well, each country within the UK is seeing a rise in anti-union sentiment, and they, of course, they all have their own independent reasons for feeling in such a way. Scotland, of course, is unique in the sense that it has had a very large pro-independence movement for quite some time, and obviously I'm sure you all remember the referendum of 2014, which the independence movement lost very narrowly. It was about 55% pro-union, which just about won out compared to about 45%. So obviously it was a very close tie. But what's changed since then is obviously Brexit. And of course Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain in the European Union. So what the Scottish Nationalist Party is arguing is that the circumstances have changed so dramatically that, of course, it's warranted another referendum. But Westminster, of course, doesn't want to give them the chance to do so.
A number of European countries have tightened restrictions to contain the spread of coronavirus. France has enforced new border controls starting as of Sunday. The measure requires anyone arriving there from the European Union countries by air or sea to produce a negative PCR test result. The requirement has already been applied to non-EU arrivals since mid-January. In Germany, strict lockdown remains in place. All non-essential shops are closed as part of the restrictions. The country on Sunday registered more than 12,000 new infections and 350 deaths. Russia has also reported more than 21,000 new cases and 500 deaths. Europe is currently facing a second wave of COVID-19. People in Portugal are heading for the polls to cast their ballots in the presidential election, which incumbent Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa has been tipped to win. Some 11 million people are eligible to vote, although pollsters are expecting record-high abstentions due to the COVID pandemic. Most opinion polls put Rebelle de Sousa far ahead of his challenger, socialist Ana Gomes, and far-right populist Andre Ventura. Low turnout, however, could upset the expected easy win for him. In his final campaign speech, Rebelle de Sousa said that the people should not allow the election to stretch out, urging them to turn out in large numbers to back and win another term and avoid a runoff. Portugal has recorded a steep rise in infections and deaths over the past couple of days, with overall tally reaching 600,000 cases and 10,000 related deaths. An Islamic human rights NGO is urging Nigeria to release the country's leading Muslim cleric and his wife, who've been unlawfully detained since 2015. The sheikh's wife has also been diagnosed with COVID-19 recently.
A London-based Islamic Human Rights Commission made a plea with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari, reminding the illegal grounds on which top cleric Sheikh Zazaki and his wife were being kept in prison. Simultaneously, the Islamic Human Rights Commission has also written to the United Nations asking the international body to exert pressure on Nigeria to do the same. Lawyer to the leader of the Islamic movement in Nigeria, Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Zazaki, expressed shock that 7 days after testing positive to COVID-19, Zazaki's wife, Zinat, is yet to be hospitalized. Also in a press conference, the Islamic movement in Nigeria said that keeping Malama Zinat in Kaduna prison without hospitalization has violated the known guidelines and protocols for the prevention of the spread of COVID-19.
The task force for the COVID-19 pandemic, they went around even sharing, distributing contacts that whenever you see somebody affected, you should call them. They will come and immediately evacuate such a person for treatment. But that of Malama Zina, she's there for 7 days. Till today, she's still in the prison custody.
In December 2015, security forces attacked Zazaki's house and worship center, killing over 340 of his supporters and three of his biological children. The Islamic movement in Nigeria said it will continue to demand justice for Sheikh Zazaki and his wife.
We call on the masses to join us in calling for justice. We call on the relevant authorities to respect the law of the land and immediately and unconditionally release the corpse, as courts has ordered for their immediate release.
Zazaki's son, Muhammad, said up to now, his mother, Zinat, is still in Kaduna prison and is yet to be hospitalized. The Islamic movement in Nigeria and Zazaki's son are both calling on the authorities to ensure that she receives proper medical care and to release Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Zazaki and his wife with immediate effect. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
tell about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 24th, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. Dear listeners, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to you, dear listeners, throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will normally be receiving a QSL card from us. However, as you know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus, don't expect a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back on track and until the disease is controlled around the world. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including P.S. Sukar from India, Jacques Agustin from France, and Assis Hernando from Spain. P.S. Sukar, Jacques, and Assis Hernando, here we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Also, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. Hector is one of our regular listeners. Thank you, Hector. Also, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan. Also, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And also, we have another email from Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot. A million thanks to you. We want you to know again how much we value these emails and letters and also your views. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back after the music with all these kind messages, just in seconds. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Chile. This email is from Hector Fria Jofre. Hector, one of our regular listeners, says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. Please accept my greetings from the city of Santiago, Chile. Regarding listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am always attentive. But the bad propagation has not allowed me to have the opportunity to tune in to your radio regularly. However, I do hope that the technical problem will be solved very soon. I will be able to listen to your programs and appreciate the traditional music and interesting programs. Best regards from Santiago. Salam and greetings to you from Iran, Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. I do express my appreciation for writing to IRIB English Radio, dear listener Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. We are so glad that you enjoy our programs. Regarding your notification about having the problem, as you may know, we have a website at that is parstoday.com/en. If you had someday in the future you had a problem with listening to our programs regularly, you can refer to our website, that is www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the archive of our programs there. Anyway, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon. We are waiting for your views about our broadcast. And from Japan, we have an email from Masahiro Kobayashi. Masahiro Kobayashi is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear sir or madam, my name is Masahiro Kobayashi and I live in Japan. I heard one of your stations some time ago and sent a reception report, but the mail was rejected. I'm not sure where to mail it, so I'm sending it to you via post. I will be pleased if this report is verified. Sincerely yours." Greetings to you, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Regarding your confusion about sending your mails, actually your emails, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the needed information about the email address or other addresses of our radio. Of course, I will refer to my colleagues about this problem, I mean rejection of your email, but anyway, for the time being, you can refer to our website, and there you can find the information about the exact email address. Thank you again, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Masahiro. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Ivan Zeleny, one of our regular listeners. Ivan Zeleny says, "Thank you very much for your email. In our city, real winter has already come. The air temperature at night drops significantly. The good news is the transmission of radio signals in the short and medium waves is getting better every day, and the broadcasting of the Islamic Republic of Iran sounds even louder and cleaner. I'm glad to know that your radio station is listened to in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslims, but also by representatives of other faiths and cultures. And many people, including myself, really like to learn about traditions, crafts, life, architecture, sites, poetry, and cultural events in Iran. I'd like to listen to more cultural programs and also political programs, more Iranian folk music and poetry, as well as information for tourists, and more people will be able to visit Iran and see everything with their own eyes, rather than learning about it from propaganda hostile radio and television programs from those who do not respect the culture of the traditions of Iran. The cinema of Iran is also very interesting because there are films with a very deep meaning and about the life situations of any person who lives not only in Iran, but all around the world. I have watched several Iranian films directed by Abbas Kiarostami in particular. Therefore, if possible, tell in your programs about the latest in the film industry of Iran. It's very good if you can send electronic QSL cards, because often due to different problems such as coronavirus pandemic, letters practically do not reach your regular radio listeners. Therefore, the idea of sending EQSL is just great and less financially costly and faster. I wish all IRIB employees all the best and success and quality programs. Salam and greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia. This greeting is from IRIB English Radio and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks for writing such interesting email to IRIB English Radio. Of course, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we want you to know that we very much value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. This was such a nice and interesting and really inspiring message. As I have, realized that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, you like Iranian folk music and poetry, and it seems that you enjoyed the kind of programs in IRIB English Radio that is about the culture and traditions of Iran. Of course, we have different programs about the culture and traditions of Iran, including Close Up Iran. We have Iranian markets and different kinds of programs that are available now in the in the archive of our programs, and some of them are broadcasting in different days of the week. As I said, like the Iranian market, like the Close Up Iran, and different kinds of programs. As you said, of course, thanks God. It seems that you're enjoying better service. I mean, the signals, as you said, the transmission of radio signals in short and medium waves are getting better every day, and the broadcasting of IRIB English Radio sounds even louder and cleaner, and it's great. And also, it's a pleasure, as you said, we have different listeners around the world, in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslim countries. We have different listeners around the world in different kinds, in different faiths and cultures around the world, and it's a pleasure for us in IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you enjoy the Iranian cinema. Of course, we have broadcast series about Iranian films and cinema, and in the future, of course, we will broadcast programs about the Iranian films and Iranian cinema in the future, soon in the future, of course. And nice suggestion, sending electronic QSL card. Thank you. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, it was such a nice message. Thanks a lot. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Thank you. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. It was such a nice and beautiful piece of Iranian folk music. And here we have an email from Portugal. This email is from Paulo Duarte. Paulo Duarte says, thank you for your reply. I'd like to receive QSL cards from your radio stations, but unfortunately, I don't listen shortwave radios anymore, and the only I access your broadcasts through internet. And of course, I listen to your radio via your website, and I have to say that your website condition is very good. I just don't know about your program's schedule. Could you please send me a copy of that, please? First of all, greetings to you, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. I don't know why you don't have the access to listen to shortwave radios, but I hope in the near future you can gain access to listening to shortwave radios, and of course, IRIB English Radio shortwave. That's great. For the time being, you have access to our website, yes. And about your trouble and your confusion about having access to program's schedule, I inform you here that you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and then you can get the program's schedule there. Thanks a lot for writing to IRIB English Radio, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the other part of our program, that is today's interview. This interview is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
My name is Chris Jensen. I'm living in Belgium. I'm working as a civil servant for the government here in Belgium, but I also travel a lot because traveling is my passion, and especially traveling to the Middle East. I've been visiting many countries in the Middle East, and I visited also Iran, which was a very, very nice experience. I'm listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, so Tehran Radio, and several mediums. I'm listening to it on shortwave, but also on the internet and on satellite. And I think that's the future, because a lot of people think that shortwave is an old technology, which is dying at the moment. But I don't believe this. I think if you want to reach the world, you have to use a media mix. So it's not if, but and. So I listen on different medium to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So to my opinion, shortwave is still alive, and it's not a dead medium. I think it has still a bright future in it. Yes, I want to send my greetings to everyone, and I call upon them to, if they can, visit Iran yourself, because, as I said before, there are many misconceptions about Iran here in the Western world, and my experience last year was a wonderful experience. I experienced Iran as a very friendly country with friendly people. It's a very modern country with good infrastructure. And everywhere where I came, people were open to me. People tried to help me. So I'm calling upon the listeners, please visit the country yourself. It's the best way to get an idea about Iran and to learn about the country.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
A large group of world scientists, including five Nobel laureates, warned a changing climate, including more severe floods and droughts, could depress growth in global food production by up to 30% by 2050. Whilst rising seas and greater storm surges could destroy urban economies and force hundreds of millions of coastal dwellers from their homes. We now present you an article written by Megan Rowling. The piece is titled "Scientists Warn Step Up Adaptation to Climate Change Now or Risk Enormous Toll." The article has been published by the Reuters news agency. Please stay with us for more of Megan Rowling's article. More than 3,000 scientists recently called for a far bigger global push to protect people and nature from the effects of a heating planet, even as researchers estimated funding to adapt to climate change has dropped because of the COVID-19 pandemic. In a statement, the scientists, including five Nobel laureates, warned that a failure to respond to rising climate risks as governments try to revive their economies from the coronavirus pandemic would have severe consequences, especially for the poorest countries. The scientists from nearly 120 countries wrote ahead of a global summit on adaptation in coming days, "Unless we step up and adapt now, the results will be increasing poverty, increasing water shortages, agricultural losses, and soaring levels of migration with an enormous toll on human life." They noted a change in climate, including more severe floods and droughts, could depress growth in global food production by up to 30% by 2050. While rising seas and greater storm surges would destroy urban economies and force hundreds of millions of coastal dwellers from their homes. They said to avoid that, major new efforts are needed to conserve nature, including forests, wetlands, and coral reefs, as is a planning revolution to make cities, transport, energy, and other infrastructure safer from climate shocks. They added better education, especially for girls, and redeployment of the world's existing financial resources would enable adaptation under massive scale required. Former United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who chairs the Global Center on Adaptation, which is organizing the summit with the Dutch government, said, "We must remember there is no vaccination for our changing climate." Ban Ki-moon told journalists, "Building resilience to climate impacts is not a nice to have, it is a must if we are to live in a sustainable and secure world." Ban Ki-moon noted alongside the COVID-19 pandemic, last year saw surging heat, intensifying drought, and rampant wildfires, adding that the pandemic might have been avoided if the world had acted earlier to protect nature and prevent climate change. Ban Ki-moon said whilst 2021 will be defined by efforts to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic, the centuries ahead will be defined by how green the recovery is. But a Global Center for Adaptation report assessing global progress on adaptation issued recently cited research showing government pandemic stimulus measures that support fossil fuels and high carbon activities outnumbered green initiatives by up to 4-1. It also flagged a new estimate from the Climate Policy Initiative that finance for adaptation is likely to have fallen, though by less than 10% in 2020. As the pandemic hit budgets hard. A United Nations report said recently that funding was already falling far short of needs before the COVID-19 crisis, with an annual average of $30 billion available for adaptation in 2017-2018. Estimates of the cost of adapting to climate change vary widely, but the Climate Policy Initiative and the Global Center on Adaptation said adaptation finance needed to increase by between 5- and 10-fold from its current levels. Only about 5% of all climate finance goes to adapting to more extreme weather and rising seas. The United Nations Secretary General and others have called for that share to be raised to half, especially in financial support for poorer countries. Patrick Verkooyen, the Chief Executive Officer of the Rotterdam-based Global Center on Adaptation, described climate change adaptation as a casualty of the pandemic. He said adaptation needs to accelerate, but this acceleration is not happening fast enough. In fact, it's even slowing down. The Global Center on Adaptation report noted, last year, development banks, major sources of climate finance, prioritized coronavirus rescue packages that help developing nations deal with pressures on their health services and face economic downturns. Meanwhile, the pandemic put a brake on many adaptation projects as construction work was halted by lockdowns and supply chain disruptions, meant inputs like seeds, tools, and technical expertise were not delivered on time. Patrick Verkooyen, the Chief Executive Officer of Rotterdam-based Global Center on Adaptation, said the shortfall in action and financing for adaptation could be turned around if decision makers ensure the trillions of dollars they are preparing to spend on boosting their economies are not aimed at building climate resistance. He told the Thomson Reuters Foundation, "This is now the time to have a step change on adaptation investments." The Global Center on Adaptation and a statement from scientists called for a wholesale rethink of financial and business incentives, which today largely fail to reflect longer-term risks. They said the potential social and economic benefits of managing threats better also deserve more attention. A 2019 Global Center on Adaptation report estimated that investing $1.8 trillion in weather early warning systems, climate-resilient infrastructure, improved dryland agriculture, mangrove protection and water security could generate as much as $7.1 trillion in total net benefits. Patrick Verkuyen, the chief executive officer of the Global Center on Adaptation, emphasized the best way to protect people from worsening extreme weather and rising seas was to slash climate heating emissions to meet the globally agreed warming limits in the 2015 Paris Climate Accord. He said, but even if governments and businesses ramp up renewable energy and energy efficiency fast enough to do that, we still have a massive investment need in adaptation as already unavoidable climate change impacts unfold. He added, improving adaptation is not defeat, it's simply defense.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or BAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. It's a very beautiful tradition from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, the 8th Holy Imam. But before we get into the tradition, we should understand that, you know, we live in a world today where it is seen, or it is, you know, told to us that, you know, being lonely is a bad thing. You should not be lonely. However, by actually pondering upon this tradition, we come to understand that a human being can never be lonely. This is just one aspect of the tradition we can pull out, that we are never lonely. We always have a friend with us if we actually apply this tradition in its correct manner. So if the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Ridha alayhi salam, says that every man's friend is his intellect. And the enemy of every man is his foolishness. So here, for example, there is a contrast between two key words that, you know, has been mentioned many times. One, that is of the aql. And the conflicting term, or the antonym of the aql, is jahl. And in this book that we are using, it has been translated as foolishness. And the author gave the reasons why. But it can also be said to be ignorance, or, you know, not being able to truly come to grips of what you are meant to do. You know, you're lackadaisical, a jahal. So here, for example, if we ponder upon the tradition, we see that the Imam alayhi salam comparing the intellect to a friend, and jahal, or ignorance or foolishness, to that of an enemy, would have to come a step back and say, okay, why is the Imam saying this? Let us look at the example of what is a purpose, or what is the purpose of a friend. A true friend is that individual who only has the best interests of his friend at heart. All he wants is the best for that person. He will not, you know, guide him towards something that is bad for him. For example, if he's going towards something bad, he will advise him, don't go there. If he's stopping from doing something good, he's going to say, go and do it. On the opposite, an enemy is that person who does not wish any goodness for that person. An enemy will wish for the destruction of that person, be it physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever way you wish, you know, or whatever way you wish to see it. This is why the Imam alayhi salam is comparing it, you know, to a friend and to an enemy. That the intellect, if used properly, that intellect will guide you towards that which is good and keep you away from that which is bad, just like a friend will. And however, if you don't have a proper intellect, if that aql is not working properly, it is not to its capacity that you have been given, and it is, you have jahal, then obviously it will not be able to stop you from that which is bad and guide towards that which is good. You might think you are going towards good, or you might think that you are not doing which is bad. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble